Welcome back to the Tank Me Later podcast. I am your host, Noah Rubin, and this is episode 60. And today, Adam King is going to join me to talk about a very early roto mock draft that we've been doing. So let's go ahead and get into it. And I'm going to go ahead and bring in Kingy, and we are going to just give you a quick reminder that support for this Fantasy Basketball International podcast is brought to you by Manscaped, who is the best of men's below-the-waist grooming. Shaving your jewels doesn't have to be risky business anymore, thanks to the Lawnmower 5.0 Ultra. This trimmer is all about keeping things smooth and safe, so you can trim with confidence. Treat your wrinkle berries and join the 10 million men worldwide who trust Manscaped by going to manscaped.com to get 20% off plus free shipping with the code FBI20. With Manscaped, it's easy grooming, no surprises. Kingy, I know you're a Manscaped guy. So how's your experience with the lawnmower or, I guess, other tools been?
I feel like I'm a professional now. we've had them on board for a couple of months. So,
yeah.
It is winter here, so there's not as much grooming required because we're often covered up. It gets pretty cold where I am, so been using it, no issues. I think I figured out the little nuances. Going well. Couldn't really ask for anything more.
Yeah, no, it's easy to figure out. I mean, definitely the process gets better each time you do it.
It does.
Like anything else, as you learn and you learn through experience, then it gets easier to use and you get more efficient with it. So,
yeah, it's like a good jump shot. The more you practice, the better you get at it.
There we go.
there's a basketball reference.
There we go. Yeah. We'll tie in some hoops when we can. Just a reminder, get 20% off with free shipping with the code or plus free shipping with the code FBI20 at manscaped.com. Show your ball some love and feel free as a dove. Like I said at the beginning, Kingy, you started another ridiculously early mock draft. This time it was roto. And honestly, before you sent out one, I've kind of already been thinking, like, you know, I know Kingy's going to send out another mock draft soon. I need to tell him no. I need to not do another mock. I need to take a break because, you know, we've already done a handful and it's, the finals are still going on. This was before that. But then he said, hey, you want to do a roto mock? And I was like, yeah, why not? Like, let's just do another mock. But one thing I did really quickly was, hey, Dan Vesperus, do you want to do a podcast with me so that I could ask him about roto stuff and learn more about roto? Because don't really have much experience with it. But this has been a fun test run for me. What made you want to do a roto mock, I guess, this early?
Primarily I do head-to-head leagues and I do head-to-head mocks, which means I punt. So I just thought I'd do a roto because I'm sort of just targeting all categories then. So it's a bit more of a balanced approach. I know Dan loves his roto drafts and, just catering to everyone. So I might even do a points league mock draft next. I don't know.
Yeah, I'm out for that one.
I don't know yet. Because I don't really do any points leagues, but I know a lot of people do. So it's not all about what I want to do and the drafts right. And the leagues that I like. I might do a points league. And I think the response from all the analysts is very similar to you. It's like, oh, really? Another one? But yeah, sure. Why not? So
I say that now, like, no, count me out. But then you're going to
see. So watch this space, anyone. If I do a points league, have a look and see if Noah is on my list of analysts who have joined the league.
Well, yeah, we'll see. Probably. Unless I'm not invited, in which case, you know.
Well, yeah, maybe I just won't invite you. And then you
I don't know why I'm assuming I'm just going to get the invite for this mock. Maybe I'm running or making too much of an issue about me.
There's a few analysts actually that aren't in this one that have messaged me and said, can we be in the next one? So, it's probably almost half full and I haven't even opened it yet.
There you go. Well, we'll go ahead and dive in to actually talking about this Roto mock. I have the draft board up here. We actually picked right next to each other. So that was, I think, mostly fun. I don't think I've had any issues where you've just sniped me. I mean, I guess if you didn't take Halliburton, that would have been nice. But I think everywhere else we've been fine. I don't know. Have I sniped you at all?
You have.
Nice.
Coming back. One, two, twice.
Okay.
see if we can pick who they are, who the two are that you...
So it would...
It's only... I mean, you've only picked ahead of me one, two, three, four times, so...
I'm going to guess it's Kawhi and Devin Vassell.
Devin Vassell, yes. Kawhi, no. Okay.
So was it Mobley or Hero? Was it Mobley?
Yep.
Okay. Interesting. I wasn't confident about taking him. That was pick six of the fourth round. But I went with it because I went with three really old, not really old, older guys with the first three picks.
Yeah.
I wanted to go a little younger.
Yeah. Yeah. Look, it was Mobley, but I mean, I was happy to get Derek White there as well. So, yeah. Anyway, we'll work through. We'll talk about our teams and the players that have been drafted.
Yeah. And we'll, I mean, instead of reading out every single pick, or maybe we can just in case people are listening to it. So it started with, I'll just read through and then we'll talk about each round or read through each round and then talk about it at the end. First round it went Wemby one and then Jokic, SGA, Luka, Tatum. You went Halliburton. I went Anthony Davis and then Giannis, Anthony Edwards, Joel Embiid, Trae Young, and Kevin Durant to wrap up the first round. Any surprises there for you? Any interesting picks?
Not really. I think we've probably got a consensus top four heading into next season already with Wemby, Jokic, Shea, and Luka. From there, it gets a little bit murky. I think it's going to just depend on which are people playing it safe. Are they prepared to take a risk? So obviously Embiid, you could throw in here as a potential top three player, but the injury concerns, for me, I'm not taking him probably inside the first round. But he could easily be much better than that. Tatum feels like a pretty safe pick there. Probably not a top five player, but if you consider games played, health, generally speaking, he usually sort of ends inside the top eight on totals. Halliburton, I'm hoping he can get back to the form we saw at the beginning of last season or this season. Anyone else? I don't know. I think, as I said, once you get outside that top four, it's a bit of a, I don't know. I wouldn't want to be picking, I don't think, in a real draft. Probably. I mean, I like Halliburton as a top five, top six. Beyond that, I probably would rather be picking it around pick 11 or 12 because then players are just going to fall to you and the decision is sort of taken out of your hands a little bit. And then I think you've got a few players who are getting picked in the second round who have first round upside. So I think you could, if you're picking at 11 and you're getting 11 and what's that, 14, you could potentially end up with two first round players. So yeah, bit of a no man's land, I think, from about picks five or six through to nine or 10.
So with, because I think Embiid is probably the most interesting player to talk about at this point. For first rounders, you said you wouldn't take him in the first round. Is that a Roto specific thing or in a head to head league? Like you're not taking him in the first round either.
Yeah, I think Roto, I'd consider it. So if I had pick 11 or something, I'd consider Embiid because games played aren't as important. Head to head, no. Head to head, I mean, I've said this on shows previously. I just don't think he can play more than 50 games. I just don't think his body is up to it. So, and I know games played is the number that we have to hit nowadays is a lot less than what it was 5-10 years ago. So you probably only got to hit 65 games to sort of be average. So I guess in theory, maybe he gets to 60. I just don't see it. I just don't think there's no way he plays back-to-backs. I think that's probably guaranteed, which rules out what usually teams get 15 to 18 back-to-backs, something like that per season.
I think it's like 12 to 14 or 15.
Well, I thought someone had 18, but who knows? It's 6:30 in the morning. So that sort of straight away you're down to 70, high 60s.
Right. Then
you miss another 10 to 15 through maintenance and tweaks and that sort of thing. So even without getting injured, seriously injured, he's down in the 50s already. So, yeah, I'd rather go with someone that doesn't have that injury risk.
Yeah, that's entirely fair. I think that the one argument against that is like, okay, what if? Like, obviously, I'm not betting on Embiid to play 65, 70 games just simply because, you know, back-to-backs right there gets him down and then a couple other here and there. Like, that would be best case scenario is 65, 70. And it's like, okay, well, what if I get Embiid at the end of the first round and he plays 65 games and 65 games of Embiid is going to be better than most other players in fantasy basketball. So I think that's the end of first round value, but it is such a risk in a head-to-head league. But in a roto league, maybe it's, like you said, a little bit better because if you're getting 50 to 55 games of Embiid level production, that's probably better than 65, 70 games of production from a handful of the players that are going in that range, assuming that they're playing that many games as well. So I went Anthony Davis. I had to go back because I told you I did a podcast with Dan and talked to him about a little bit of roto stuff. We also happened to be talking about the Lakers and Suns that episode, so I asked him who would he take, AD or KD next year. He said KD in head-to-head, AD in roto. So I went with AD here because I wanted to avoid guys like Giannis and Trae Young who have like percentage issues. I was trying to avoid those. And then nobody else really was a guy that I was feeling comfortable, I guess, taking at 7. So that's why I went with Anthony Davis there. But yeah, a lot of those guys in the first round, totally fine with, think that they're all good picks. So we'll move on to round 2. Donovan Mitchell was the first pick of the second round. Then Paul George, Kyrie Irving, Chet Holmgren, Domantas Sabonis, Kawhi Leonard, Kristaps Porzingis, and I was Kawhi, you were Kristaps. And then Tyrese Maxey, De'Aaron Fox, Devin Booker, Scottie Barnes, and LaMelo Ball to wrap up round 2. Anything stand out there? And then I guess, why did you pick Kristaps?
In terms of standing out, it's probably pretty early for Paul George. Not necessarily too early. It's just earlier than I think we've seen or what we will see when we hit real drafts. Anything else stand out? Maxey, I mean, Maxey's going to be there in the second round. We know that after what he's done this year and add to that the fact that, as I said, Embiid might only play 50 games. So Maxey is going to be leading the charge for a lot of the season unless they end up with someone like a Paul George on their team. So, again, preface, this is a very early mock and things could change. So this is based on what we know now. Look, the rest of them I think are fine in the second round. You could probably, you could pick up Booker and you could drop him down where Kyrie is. You could shuffle these guys around a little bit. If you were to put players in tiers or buckets, there'd be a few of these guys in the same bucket. So LaMelo's interesting. So this will probably, if you look at all the names here, he's the most uncertain given what we've seen the last 2 years. He could be a first rounder. He might only play 20 games and he ends up being a bust again. So I think he's where he goes in drafts is going to vary the most. If you look at all these names, why did I take Porzingis? First of all, I have no idea why he doesn't have center eligibility because he's
a
center for Boston. So, If you are, I'm assuming that'll change heading into next year. I don't know why.
I think they condense it over the summer. Like they condense maybe position of eligibility and then bring it back out once the season. Because Wemby only has forward eligibility as well. Same Anthony Davis, only forward. So I think they'll Chet Holmgren, same thing, only forward. I think they'll expand it out.
Yeah, yeah. And then that's weird because Chet, Porzingis, they're starting centers in the NBA.
Right.
But anyway, yeah, being a roto league, I went with Halliburton first, so I got my threes and my assists and my steals. So I went the other way with Porzingis. I went for blocks, rebounds. I'm sort of just, I guess I'm not actively punting anything, but looking at my team, it's probably a soft punt in points, I'd say. I haven't really targeted any players that are going to get me high 20s or close to. I guess Steph Curry, you could argue, could, but he's on the back
end. Zion as well.
And Zion, yeah, they're probably the two that could, but I don't need them to. Like, I'm not really targeting points. Free throw percentage is potentially a small issue with Zion there, but I think I can cover for it. Porzingis is a big man who hits threes, hits free throws. So, yeah, I just like him here. He finished in this range last season. Games played is obviously a bit of an issue always with Porzingis, but if I could get 60 games out of him, low 60s maybe, then I think I'd be happy with it.
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of the same way I am with why I went with Kawhi, was just elite production was on the court. If I can get games in the 60s, and I'm happy as well.
Yeah.
You did mention earlier, like, a guy like Devin Booker could easily go earlier in the second round, and I agree. So I think that was good value there. But, like, at the same time, the earlier picks in the second round I thought were fine too. A lot of talent up top. I think, like you mentioned, the tiers, a lot of the guys do kind of go in the same tier where it's just preference on either specific player or specific stats that you need. Mm. I got points, rebounds, blocks in the first round, went points, well-rounded, kind of everything, and good bit of steals in the second round with Kawhi. So if you did this heading into this past season, it worked out really well. So hopefully they both play a lot of games again. I'm not screwed by them both playing 35 games.
Yeah. Yeah. No, and I do think, I just, and listening to others, like other shows, that sort of thing, and thinking in terms of rankings, I think they are becoming less and less, not important. I think rankings are still important, but it's more about, I think, as I said, putting them in buckets or putting them in tiers. So, like, if you've got pick 15, you don't have to go, oh, well, Sabonis is ranked 14th and Scotty Barnes is ranked 18th, so I have to take the player with the higher rank. You could have, I mean, at pick, 12, 13, so say pick 15 where Kyrie went, you could have Kyrie, I think you could have Maxi, Fox, Booker, Ball, like you could have 8-9 guards in that tier alone, and you just go with either the player that you like, you might have a player that you like, or you go, okay, well, I want to focus a little bit more on steals, so I might go with Fox over Kyrie, because he's going to get me more steals. So, yeah, I like that idea, and it's probably something that I'll lean into a little bit more this season or next season.
Yeah, I'm on the same page of not necessarily going strictly off rankings, but learning that throughout the past year of, like, I guess, season of fantasy basketball, and hopefully going to be able to apply that a little bit with drafts this upcoming season. Looking at round three, we went LeBron with the first pick of round three, Jalen Brunson, Jaren Jackson, Alperen Şengün, DeJounte Murray. Then you went Steph. I went Dame. And then James Harden, Fred VanVleet, Jalen Johnson, Jalen Williams, and Lauri Markkanen. This was a pretty interesting round. I don't know. What were kind of anything? What's, I guess, stuck out to you the most?
You said it, LeBron, Curry, Lillard, Harden, four players that, again, could be first rounders, best case scenario, probably won't be. But we are seeing, I think, some of these older players starting to drop a bit in drafts and starting to fall. I mean, 2 years ago, if you'd said that I got Curry at pick 30, people would have just assumed that everyone was drunk doing their draft or something like that. Because
last year, if you would have said you got him at pick 30, year, right?
Yeah. So I tried to talk myself out of not picking him. I looked who else is available. I really like Jalen Johnson. I couldn't pass on Curry at pick 30. Even if he's running at 80%, he's still going to get me 4.5 threes a game, low to mid 20s. He'll get me some assists. He's relatively efficient. He's not as efficient as he used to be, but still very good from the free throw line. And I considered Lillard and Harden. It was out of those three, and not surprisingly, they went off the board in a row here. So, for me, I think it's interesting, and it'll be – I would assume that come draft season, Curry doesn't fall this far. I don't think you're getting him at pick 30 in a real draft next season, but I do think that he probably falls to the middle of the second round, 18, 17, something in that range. Same probably for Lillard and Harden. Maybe they drop a little bit further, but I think we are starting to see a changing of the guard a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, he was still 22nd in nine cap value this year and played 74 games. And I feel like that's kind of what scares people away from older players is health. I mean, like a slight drop in production from him because he was a pretty consistent first round talent. And then I think the field goal percentage dropped a little bit, which you alluded to. So, no, I think great pick there. I mean, a guy that is as good as Steph that just played 74 games, I don't think should be going in the middle of the third round. So great value there. I went Dame for kind of similar reasons as he's good when he was on the court. And he was pretty readily available for most of the season, despite kind of being an older guy. Played 73 games, was 25th in nine cat, which I think was a little bit kind of the expectation when he went to Milwaukee was that the numbers would drop at least a little bit. But I mean, he's still going to be really, really good. So cool with, we got the old guys. So that was, you know, fun. But some of the young guys that went, Jalen Johnson, Jalen Williams is fun. I know I was pretty upset that DeJounte Murray went two picks before, cause I really wanted him. And I think he's going to have a really good year, assuming Atlanta doesn't do the dumb thing and just try and run it back one more time that they trade one of Trey or DeJounte. So I think, I mean, he is a guy who has finished in the first round before. Is he going to do that again? Probably not, but I think he could easily be a second round guy that plays 70, 75 games, whether he's in Atlanta or somewhere else. So I like that one. Alperen Şengün is also another guy with a ton of upside. I think if the Jazz try and make the playoffs this year, Lauri Markkanen is going to be a steal at the end of the third round.
Yeah, a lot of ifs at the moment. We don't know even what rosters look like, but DeJounte was the player I wanted there. So much like you, I was annoyed that he went. And I was on the Menace Podman on their show earlier this week and talking about players that I'm keeping an eye on through the offseason and into draft season. And Murray's at the top of that list because, as you said, if Trey's moved, we saw what DeJounte can do at the end of the season when Trey was out with his hand injury. So he could get back to that top 15 player that we saw in San Antonio. If they keep Trey and they decide to ship DeJounte off somewhere, he could land somewhere where he can put up those numbers again. So he's someone I'm keeping an eye on pretty closely, I think.
Yeah, no, I agree. And for more than just fantasy reasons, I'll be keeping an eye on that situation pretty closely.
Yeah.
Fourth round, we had Desmond Bane, Karl-Anthony Towns, Bam Adebayo, Cade Cunningham, Paolo Banchero. I went Evan Mobley. You went Derek White and Miles Turner, Kobe White, DeAndre Ayton, Ja Morant, and Jarrett Allen. What stuck out for you from round four?
I think a few guys here. I don't know. It's a pretty mixed kind of a round. So there's guys that have probably taken a bit of a hit their overall value. Carl Anthony Towns being a really good example of that. He was a first rounder a couple of years ago. He's now down. Well, again, this is a mock, but he's down in the fourth round. Cade Cunningham, I think people are probably a little bit off him because of the injuries, because of Detroit, their trajectory. Even though we don't know what their team looks like or anything like that, I don't really see Detroit being a super competitive team. I think they'll be better, but so your mind automatically goes to that. Well, is Cunningham going to play more than 50 games or 55 games? Maybe not. So he's probably good value there, or could be good value. Coby White, interesting. Pretty high, probably too high for me. But again, this is a mock, so you take your guys. Ja Morant, how are the Grizzlies going to look? How's he going to look? A lot of question marks there. And then, you went with Mobley. I went with Derek White. I don't know. I sort of just had to take Derek White there. He was a top 30 player this season. He was pretty healthy. We're seeing how good he is in the playoffs. Both he and Drew Holiday seem to play well off each other as that backcourt. So, yeah, I got him at, 36 plus, so 43, and I think he was almost a top 25 player this season, and his role's set. He's not going anywhere. Nothing's changing in Boston. So I like getting him there, and for Roto especially, and I'm not concerned about points, as I said. He gets you those out-of-position blocks, and he can grab some boards. He'll get some assists. He hits threes. He's efficient. So sort of does everything except for score in high volume. So I just thought he fit my build quite well here. And that's why I was looking at Mobley as well, because I was looking at blocks and some rebounds. But you took him. So I went with what I thought was the next best option in Derek White.
Yeah, no, I like it. Obviously, love Derek White. Evan Mobley, I went with him. One, like I said earlier, I wanted to get somebody that was somewhat young because I went three older guys to start. And I'm kind of thinking there should be a chance that they trade Jared Allen this summer. And if that happens, then Evan Mobley's going to slide over and should have a really, really good year, has first round upside. That would be best case scenario. He takes a step and they trade Jared Allen, so he's playing 34 minutes a game at center. Not saying that will happen, but I think it could. So that's why I'm totally fine taking him there. The Coby White one was a bit interesting for me, probably too early for me for Coby White. Love getting Desmond Bane at the beginning of the round. Going Ja late for that round, I think, is pretty good as well, considering the points, rebounds, assists that you'll get. The DeAndre Ayton one, I don't love Ayton. I don't think you love Ayton either. If he's playing like he did at the end of this past season, though, I think that's going to end up being a pretty good pick. And then Jared Allen, if he is traded, like maybe he gets a little bit more value. So totally fine taking him at the end of round four, just kind of banking on some trades with some of these guys. So,
I don't like Ayton, so I wouldn't be drafting him, but he was good down the stretch. But that was sort of when all hope was lost, and it was just, here you go and do whatever you want to do, how you want to do it. And Jared Allen, he sort of is who he is at this point. So even if he's moved somewhere, probably plays a similar role. If we're talking about old man squad, I feel like he's a really good fit on an old man squad because people sort of sleep on him because he's not that exciting, but he's just going to churn out numbers every night. Not a lot of upside to finish as a second rounder or anything like that. But, usually he's a good value pick in those middle rounds.
Yeah. And so we'll move on to talking about round five here. So it went Jamal Murray, Jalen Duren, Franz Wagner, Pascal Siakam, Brooke Lopez. You went Zion. I went Jimmy Butler, Mikal Bridges, Darius Garland, Jaylen Brown, Trey Murphy, And then DeMar DeRozan. How'd you feel about round five?
Again, another interesting round. I think one thing I'm noticing with what we've done in drafts so far is usually you hit a point where you're looking at the draft board and there's no one you want. You're forced to draft someone because you're up, but you're not excited about it. At the moment, I think from what I'm seeing at the moment, there's a good mixture. Like there are some safe kind of guys, like a Brook Lopez in this round, Bridges, Jaylen Brown, DeRozan, who Siakam, I suppose, to some degree, who you go, oh, yeah, look, he's fine. I'll take him. He's probably going to break even in terms of value. But then you've got some guys with upside. Jalen Duren, what's he going to look like next season? I'm pretty high on him, so I think he could be a top 40 player if Detroit are mildly competitive and he's playing consistent minutes. So I really like Duren. I mean, getting Butler where you got him there, if he plays 60 games, that's a home run because he can be a top 15 player per game quite easily. We've seen it in the past. Garland, pretty disappointing this season. I had him in a league and he was rough. It was not fun. But you feel like he's growing into his role. He looked a little bit better down the stretch. Is Donovan Mitchell still going to be there? So a few questions, but I do think Garland still has some upside to be much better than this. Zion, a little bit like Steph Curry, I just felt I had to take him at this point. Even though I'm not really chasing points, he looked good last year, and we saw how important he was to the Pelicans. As soon as he went out in the playoffs with that injury, they basically folded. So hoping that he can come into the season in good shape and not having spent time with doing his various other hobbies. If he comes in shape and Pelicans are sort of, they'll be pushing for top four. So I think he could have a really good season. And then Trey Murphy is probably the question mark in that round. I think if you had to put a question mark over the head of someone, it's Trey Murphy. This would be based, I assume, on Brandon Ingram being traded and Trey Murphy being handed a starting role and taking that next step. He could be this good. So, again, it's a mock. I'm not sure whether Alex would have gone with him here in a real draft, but I like it. I think Trey Murphy has upside to be a top 50 player, so why not take a chance?
Yeah, and like you said, by the time the real draft comes around or our real drafts come around, we should know whether Trey Murphy will be starting for New Orleans or not, because we'll know whether Brandon Ingram is on the team or not. I think it is a little bit interesting that he did go before BI, which is, I don't know, interesting, cool, whatever you want to call it. You mentioned Garland. There's a chance that he's not in Cleveland. Like, if there's been rumors of the Spurs being interested in him, and there was reports that if Donovan Mitchell stayed, that he was going to ask out. So we'll see about that. I went Jimmy Butler because I was going to go with him in round four, and I was like, okay, I can't go four old guys in a row. And then he just happened to still be there in round five. So I was like, okay, like I have to take him now. This is a sign. Like, yeah, he's still there. But yeah, I went with a bunch of old guys that if they play enough games, I should be pretty happy with the results. But yeah, and then so round six started with Rudy Gobert, then went Brandon Miller, Emmanuel Quickley, Nick Claxton, CJ McCollum. I sniped you with Devin Vassell. Then you went OG Anunoby. And then I went Nikola Vucevic, Brandon Ingram, Miles Bridges, Kyle Kuzma, and Zach LaVine. What kind of stuck out to you about this round, Kingy?
Well, Brandon Miller was surprising to see him go there. I mean, he had a good rookie season, but he certainly, I mean, I don't know what his rank was. Hang on.
I think he was outside the top 100, but he was still really good the final 2 months or so.
So he was 114th for the season. But yeah, as you said, he was much better down the stretch. I don't know. Probably depends on, is Miles Bridges going to be there? Is LaMelo going to be healthy? A lot of question marks in Charlotte as well. So Again, this was Alex taking a swing for the fences and taking Brandon Miller. Who else stood out? Well, yeah, I mean, obviously I said you took Devin Vassell. That's who I would have gone with there. I'm still pretty high on him and what he can do alongside Wemby. So I went with OG, who I think by all accounts had a pretty disappointing season. There were some injuries. His steals were down a little bit, but he's a perfect fit in New York. Assuming he's going to be there, he'll play. Well, we know he'll play a lot of minutes because that's what Tibbs does. So get him here. Again, in a roto league, doesn't really hurt you. He can get it done on both ends of the floor. I didn't mind him despite the fact that I didn't get Devin Vassell. Another player that I talked about on the other show, the Menace Podman show, was Emmanuel Quickley. So curious to see how he goes this year in Toronto. He looked fantastic following the trade. So could he be a top 50 player? Maybe. I think if he can average upwards of 20 points, he'll get some assists. He hits threes. He's efficient from the free throw line. If he can get up to a steal a game. So I like Quickley there. Vucevic, he's sort of one of those players, a little bit like a Jimmy Butler or DeMar DeRozan, who you're almost going to try and find a reason not to draft them because they're old and they're boring. Probably the guys that Dan would be targeting in an old man league, old man squad. Guy like Vucevic, he just keeps churning out numbers despite the fact he's getting older. So not an exciting pick, but getting him at the back end of the sixth round feels pretty good. That's probably it. Miles Bridges, I don't know. Where's he going to be? Is he going to be in Charlotte? Again, that's one of the downfalls of doing a draft this early is we don't know what the rosters look like. But, could be good there. If he goes to a team where he's the third option, then probably not so good.
Yeah, I agree. I think his re-signing or not will impact where both he and Brandon Miller go in drafts. So interesting to see them both go in the sixth round and to see Miller go before him. Zach LaVine is probably just forgotten about by everybody at this point. So if he ends up getting back to who he was previously, that could be really good value there at the end of round six. Not that I'm banking on that, but like, what if? And I think that's what you kind of have to do at certain points when guys start sliding is like, hey, like, what if they just get back to what they were, or what if they just play more games? So Emmanuel Quickley, definitely a guy that's exciting. I went Vassell, always been high on Devin Vassell. So because he was there, I just kind of had to take him.
Yeah.
That's the first half of this mock draft. We will, I'm assuming, come back and maybe do another recap show to recap the second half of this roto mock and talk about some more, because there's already been some interesting picks with some, you know, interesting perspectives to talk about some of these guys. But Kingy, before we go, anything that we should be on the lookout for you?
No, obviously a bit of downtime at the moment. So I haven't recorded a show for a little bit. We just got a few things we're tweaking in the background, but hopefully we'll have the second series of the analyst interviews probably start recording sort of end of this month, early July. So they'll be released probably July, August, September, one or two a week for a couple of months. So I think I've got about 18 people to work through. So that'll be fun. And then we'll start our regular shows getting ready for the season in July, August. There's plenty happening in the background, not much happening on the surface other than obviously Twitter, follow yourself, follow me. I'm still tweeting out the results of the mock draft and also doing a sort of soft launch of the pod hub idea that I had for a while where I thought it would just be easy for people that don't have the time or aren't as sad and depraved as we are to go and hunt for podcasts if I can just put them all in one spot. So, but that seems to have been received quite well. And I know Joe Orico, who's working on Old Man Squad as well, he tagged me, and thanks to Joe, I'll message him and thank him. He started up a baseball pod hub as well, based on what I've been doing. So that's cool. Like, it's cool that people are noticing. So, yeah, if you are looking for podcasts, and there's a lot of good analysts, a lot of good shows out there, I will continue to do that through the off season and through the season. So, yeah, other than that, just enjoying the NBA finals and then a bit of a break from basketball.
Yeah, no, phenomenal idea with the Pod Hub. Just gives everybody a little bit more visibility. You mentioned the finals. Before I let you go, is it like, how many games is Boston winning in, or is Dallas making the comeback?
I think Dallas will probably get one of these next two in Dallas. I don't think it'll be a sweep. I think Dallas, I think Luka, Kyrie, but I do think Boston will get this done. They just look, I mean, the fact Jason Tatum hasn't had to score more than about 15 or 16 right. points, they shot really poorly. I don't know what their final numbers were in game two, but from the three-point line, they just couldn't hit anything, and they still won. So, yeah, I think Boston get it done, which is, I mean, I like both these teams. I like Luka, apart from his complaining. But Luka looks banged up. Like, he doesn't look 100%, even close to 100%, whereas other than Porzingis, who has said he will play, the Celtics look healthy, and that's one of the advantages of having been 12 games ahead in the East. Yeah. They were able to rest guys down the stretch. And so, yeah, I think they get it done. And personally, I think it'll be good to see Al Horford win a title. I think everyone has to like Al Horford, don't they?
I mean, Hawks fans don't have to. He did kind of leave Atlanta and said it was pretty much because Boston fans were better. So I think Hawks fans have a little bit of a reason to. But
that's fair enough.
I think I'm over it at this point. It's been not quite a decade, almost a decade. So
yeah,
I'll let it go. But
it's okay to hold grudges though as well. So
that's true. Okay, maybe I need to start the grudge back up. That's a good point. So okay, so my agenda against Al Horford has started back up officially. Yep. Right now. Kingy, thanks for joining me for this. Everyone else, thanks for listening, and I will see you guys next time.
You just listened to another episode from the Fantasy Basketball International Podcast Network. Thanks for joining us. And for more information about joining our community, please check out our website at fbibasketball.com.